Not all of them are here today. We have a couple that are out, but I still stand in amazement at how numerically we're not a mega church yet. But our we don't play second fiddle to anybody when it comes to our worship, and we don't tell you enough. I wish I could pay you $100,000 a year and put you on staff. Won't you just believe God for that? Okay. Amen. church, could you just come and, if you can, try to gather around them? We just need to bless them. They're, you know, when it's so good like this and it's so anointed, you just think, man, that's like falling off a greased log. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into Sunday morning that you don't see. We appreciate all your hard work and all the communication that goes on behind the scenes and all the little crazy stuff that you have to put up with, strings breaking and schedules. Oh, sweet Jesus. Getting everybody together at the same time, it's like parting the Red Sea sometimes. So let's just wait before the Lord and let's pray and bless them. And if you have a word of confidence or encouragement for them today, I want you to speak it out. And is that mic behind you there? Just raise your hand. Father, we come before you. I'll get this mic to you so that they can hear it. Lord, we come before you today with grateful hearts. And every time I come here, or pretty much every Sunday that I come here, I think about the scripture of Paul comparing the church to the body, and that one part's not better than the other, and that oftentimes it's the unseen one that contributes the most. And Lord, this is just so much that goes on in coming together to worship you. It's not about us. We know that. Everyone that's on this team knows that. It's about an audience of one. It's about you. And we're blessed to have Kelly and Saray and the team that you have sovereignly brought together to help us and to lead us. And they truly do that. They lead us into your presence and allow us to not just express our heart of love towards you, but also to receive during the 30 or 40 minutes that we have together as we worship. And so, Lord, we just want to bless them today. So if you have a word of encouragement, church, just let me see your face or hand, and I'll hand the mic to you. Somebody back there? I didn't.
I just have a praise.
Okay. Dustin?
I have noticed.
I have noticed. Okay, that's a good one. Anybody else? Or if you just want to pray a prayer, a blessing over them, that'd be great too. So,
bless their talents.
Bless their talents. Amen.
Father, we talk about how beautiful the feet of those that bring forth the Word of God. And this team brings forth that Word.
Yes.
And I want to encourage them.
Yes.
All of you. Keep your faith high.
Yes, Lord.
And continue to bless. And also, I'm reminded about the time that you went out into the community. And the Lord says, do not fear going out into the community.
Amen.
But go forth and in music, in psalms, in praise, bring forth that Word of God.
Yes. Amen. Good word. One behind you there. The hand.
I think I mentioned this to Kelly or Saray one a while back, that they were going to see some rewards from the Lord for their diligence and faithfulness.
Yes.
And and this is for the whole worship team. I see the Lord is going to take you deeper than you are now. Mm-hmm. And there's some things he's going to unwrap for you in the coming weeks that that's just going to cause you to excel even more in your worship and in ministry in the community.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Got one right back here. You don't need a mic? Okay.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this awesome praise team. I want to thank you for the anointing that you've given them. We thank you, Father God, for your praise. It's so important that it brought down the walls of Jericho. Yes. If it can bring down the walls of Jericho, Father God, it can bring down all the walls that surround us. So we stand in faith today in confidence that you will begin to flourish this team even more, Father God. Bring up their talents even more as they surrender all the secrets from within, Father God. Let it all rise to the surface. Let every hindrance be removed. Let every chain be removed from them that we may move forward, Father God, under that praise and worship, the grace that comes with that. The chains will be broken in this community, in our church, in our own lives as we continue. And we just remain grateful, grateful for each one of them and the sacrifices they continue to make, for the path that they walk, for the faith that they continue to grow within them, and for the willingness to come here each day and all during the week, the things that they do that make this possible. So thank you, God. Thank you for these people. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for the freedom to worship and praise you this day.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
As Diane was prophesying, she used the word unwrapped, that God had things he's going to unwrap for you. But I clicked. Not only are there things that need to be unwrapped, but there's loose ends, there's questions, you know, there's some confusion, and some of these things need to be tied up. They need to be tied up and tied with a three-pronged cord that can't easily be broken. So that's one of the things that the Lord's going to do for each of you individually as well as a team. Loose ends are going to be tied up and wrapped with him. Okay, who's next?
Right back. Brother Mitch.
I just want to encourage all you guys because I have truly been blessed by the worship, and I just want to encourage all you guys to remain sincere before the Lord and humble and pure and innocent, because if you remain humble, God gives grace unto the humble. And all things have been set before us, and I don't see any reason why through, as it says, I will enter the gates with thanksgiving into the Lord, and I will proceed beyond that and go into the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving. And it's like a door, this worship and this praise, to come in and to meet with God Almighty himself. And I just pray as time goes on that wisdom and understanding and knowledge would be given to go deeper, that the Lord could use through his might. He's the mighty one. He's the powerful one. He's the one who does the work. It's not by our might, our power, our ingenuity. It's by the Spirit. And I just pray that God would give wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of how and to lead the worship and what to do so that God can go into the deepest parts of the heart of man and unlock things that have not been touched before, and that a move of God. And I just pray that God would move, continue to move through you all.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Worship team is humble, and if you bow down in humbleness before the Lord, he's the one that raises you up again. He's the one that anoints you. He anoints your singing. He anoints your words. He's the one that pours glory upon you in humbleness. Yes. I just thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just come before you right now, and I thank you so much for Kelly and Saray and each one here for their efforts and their giftings. And, Lord, I bless them today. I see a bridle coming down out of heaven. And it's not that you haven't had a bit in your mouth before, and I know you guys are horse people. I guess that's why the Lord did it. But, and on the side of that bridle, I see on one side lover, and I see on the other side warrior. And I see you willingly and eagerly awaiting the bit of his presence to come into your soul and into your spirit, because you're ready to mount up with him by his spirit and to go into new areas. One of those new areas is that you guys are going to be writing more songs. You've done that in the past. Things have happened and so forth and so on that I don't really care about, but that there's a grace that's coming on you to write more. As you're in his presence, it'll be rich, it'll be deep, it will be publishable, and God's going to expand you in that area. Additionally, Kelly and Saray, I know you have kind of mentors and heroes in the worship community that you have looked up to, but I just sense that the Lord is saying that you're coming out of the shadows. And that's going to be a big, and it's because of your heart and the promotion that he's giving, where others will be contacting you and wanting you to pour into their lives because of the level of worship and anointing and the aspect of just the being the lover of his presence. And so that's going to be coming to you. I can even see you writing a book of We Were There, and how the Lord has brought you from point A to point B to point C and so forth and so on. And so because of that, there is going to be a drawing. People will come to you that you haven't got a clue, and you wonder what are they doing, but it's because of the anointing of his goodness and mercy on your life. And when they come, you will be graced to disciple them and to train them. And it'll be for a season of time, and you'll be sending in the days ahead to whatever work they may have to do. And it will also be within our own midst that you'll see this happening. So I just bless you with that in the days ahead. I keep hearing the word book. I don't know how that fits in. But I think maybe a song book. I don't know. I don't know what it is. So does that make sense? I hope it does. So I just bless you with that. Father, I bless. Thank you so much for this team. Thank you for the expansion of the team. Thank you, God, for Father and a mother's heart, Lord, for raising up other worshipers and seeing them reach their full potential with you in the kingdom. Thank you for all these words of grace and humility and loving, Lord. We bless them. We bless all that they're doing. God, we pray a hedge of protection upon them, that nothing of the enemy that would try to come in and to sidetrack them in any way, what shape, or form. Lord, we just thank you that there's so many areas that they're stepping into, God, and coming out of the shadows. And that, Lord, what the enemy meant for evil, you definitely have turned it around for good. And that, Lord, out of that goodness is going to come tremendous, tremendous fruit. And so we bless them. We bless all of these, Lord, in Jesus' name. We bless them, we bless them, we bless them, we bless them, we bless them in Jesus' name. And God, we cry out for more, 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 more.
More of your mercy, more of your power, more of that.
Amen. Is that good, guys? All right, amen. Give them a hug and fellowship just a little bit there as we continue to do whatever we're going to do. I remember a number of years ago, talking to Kelly and Saray when we were first starting out, and I had just a few couples, and I love pioneering. I just love all the problems that come with it, and most of the time, let's put it that way. But I remember, I think we were at Zaxby's. We met at Zaxby's, and you know, God's really anointed. That second booth on the right is really anointed at Zaxby's. I found out they weren't in church. I thought they were serving in another event. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and thank you so much for all that has transpired. I'm just already full. Just touched by worship. I'm touched by the words that have come forth and the ministry of the body, as the saints have done the work of the ministry here and encouraging each other and admonishing one another. And so, God, I just pray that you would cause this word that I have to come alive and by your grace and mercy minister to all of us and encourage us in Jesus' name. You know, can you say amen? Amen. I just want to also encourage you in regards to the word that came forth about the power of the Spirit. Of course, we're charismatics here in Pentecostals. We you cut us and we bleed that kind of blood, you know, so to speak. And then also for the finances, I'm personally encouraged by the number of people who have actually reading their Bible through. I've heard from a few people that this will be the first time in their Christian life that they will have read the Bible through in 1 year. Up to this point in their Christian life, they have never read the Bible completely. And you can't go wrong by reading the scriptures. Can you say amen to that? And I'm not, of course, you know, I'm not here to condemn you if you, you know, or any of that kind of stuff. I just want all of us in the Word of God. It's His Word to us. I call it a love letter. It shows us His heart, and it helps us to align with Him correctly as we walk with Him in the kingdom of God. And as this power continues to increase in us, I really want to encourage you to make sure that your walk with Him is pure. All right? Don't allow, a couple of, I can't remember when I talk a lot, but in Ephesians, when we looked at Ephesians, I hope that blessed you, but don't allow the devil a foothold. You know, it's what the scripture says. Don't let him, don't give him an inch, because if you do, he's going to try to take like 1,000 miles of your life. And, you know, and the reason why I say that is because we don't wake up in the morning and go, today I'm going to deny the faith. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. And also the enemy, when he tempts us, I wish to God he would come with red horns and green eyes and a yellow eye and a pitchfork that's on flames. Anybody in their right mind would turn and run, you know, or maybe grab your Glock and try to shoot him or something. But, you know, he doesn't come that way. It's the subtle things that he comes in. He is an angel of incrementalism. So if you will just give him that little bit of a, and it can starts with your thought life. You know, it just like, you know, Ted Bundy didn't wake up one day and go, I'm going to be a serial killer. I'm just going to start today and go around and start killing all the ladies, you know. It didn't start that way. I watched his interview with what's that guy's name? What is his name? Come on, y'all help me here. Family, focus on the family. Dobson. I watched his interview with Dobson, and it was very revealing. I mean, I still think that he had a lot of strongholds and demonic stuff that's going on, and I didn't have a problem with him being executed. I don't have that problem. Definitely didn't need back in the population again. But he's talked about how it just started with one little quick peek on the internet at pornography. Just a small little stronghold. And so as I shared about last week about this grandiose vision that Paul had said in Ephesians 4, the saints doing the work of the ministry. And you would think he would go on to talk about raising the dead and the power of physical healing following you and walking by and people falling out in spirit when your shadow will touch them and But he doesn't do that. He goes in and then he starts, and he said, stop lying. If you're going to be angry, then don't let it go down on your wrath. I mean, I love the heart of Paul because he understood the quality of what sin can do to a person, yet he also understood the power of a life aligned with God, being filled with His Spirit, to go forth and to cause sparks in the earth today because you're representing Him in the kingdom of God. So I hope that blessed you. I'm kind of a meat and potato guy. I try to get better at preaching over the years. So today, you can sleep, but don't snore if it is all possible. My wife's probably thinking you should hear him when he goes to sleep at night. And the reason why I say that is today I'm going to share just a little bit of my heart with you, and maybe go for 30 or 40 minutes, and we'll call it quits. And because to me, the safeguard in walking with God in His kingdom and with others, it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the experience that comes with that and the revelation that comes as He speaks to you and I, grounded in this. If we lose this, if we don't know this, then you've already got the door open to say, come on in and get your foothold. How did Jesus deal with temptation? He quoted the Word. He didn't say, wait a minute, let me get a word from the Father prophetically for you. All right? And I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes people say, oh, you almost preach like you don't believe. I do, and I walk in them, and I exercise them. And I was back there hollering in the Spirit today during worship. It just blessed my heart. But I want us to come to that place where we understand that and that we're grounded, for lack of a better word, I know charismatics don't like this, but good theology. Theo, God, ology, study of. That's why he said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. I got in trouble one time. They said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, I mean that the same level for that whole year of calculus that you were studying in college to pass that course, it should at least be that same level as you study the Word of God. You see that? And he did that. He said, no, I ain't doing that. Probably why you flunked. I just want to really encourage us. I want us to be known as a people of the book and the people of the Spirit. And if we will safeguard that and allow the integrity of our hearts to be touched and tuned and open to God and His Word and His Spirit, then that foothold will not come to you. It will not come. Because you know what is right. And now, having done that, that was my introduction, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today. And again, I hope you don't go to sleep, but I've heard a lot of crazy stuff. And not here, all right? I haven't talked to everybody here, but I travel. And I've heard all kind of stuff said about the Holy Spirit, and I'm scratching my head going, "What? Could you show me that? Where is that in the book?" And things. And so I thought, and I'm not going to do this often, but every so often, if you happen to come here, I'm just going to blitz you with some good old Bible theology. All right? And so as we do this today, let's start. A.W. Tozer, who was in the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. He lived to 1963, I believe. He was born in 1897, I believe. He said this. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would even notice the difference. Have you ever read that? It's just kind of like, ouch. It's one of those type of things. And yet the Scriptures is just so replete with examples about the Holy Spirit and who he is, and how he is. We'll talk about it in just a minute. He's the Parakletos, the one that comes alongside and brings comfort. And Jesus even went further to say, and he will even be in you. Some crazy, wonderful scriptures that talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. You go to John chapter 14 and in verse 15. So I've got a lot of scriptures for you today. So you can either turn or jot them down, or maybe your phones are quicker than my pages. And verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, in the Authorized Version, it says a comforter. All right, I'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And then he tells us his name, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now the context, the reason why he said it that way is that he's talking to his disciples. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't been raised from the dead yet. So Pentecost hasn't come yet. So Jesus is looking forward. I'm going to send it on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he's going to live inside of you. All right? So that you I want you to understand, I say these little crazy things sometimes, but I get on a plane, I walk on a plane. Most of the times I think, these people are so lucky I'm here. Because if the rest of them are heathens, I'm here and God's here because I just stepped on the plane. The Holy Spirit is going with me. Now, if you will just, in that in itself, if you will just meditate on that, for 15 minutes a day for a week or a month if you want to, Emmanuel, God with us. Or as the Authorized Version says, with us is God. That's why he said, I'll never leave you as orphans. You won't be an orphan. You will never be alone. I will always be with you. And he is with us because of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says also. Another favorite verse of mine, is which I've already mentioned, is 2 Timothy 3. And I'll just read it to you. You already know it. All scripture in verse 16 is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so as we come and grow in our faith, we always have the standard of the Word of God. And God himself living inside. Let me just say this, and again, forgive me for being so plain, but just act like, it's good, because it is good, all right? He will never contradict this. Are you, thank you for saying amen. I've met a lot of fruitcakes. And first thing that goes through my mind is, thank God I'm not pastoring them. I don't have to give an account for that. It's kind of like, then I'm thinking, should I go tell his leader? Or, I said, nah, I'll let him figure out later. But he will never contradict his word. Brother Terry, you're preaching kind of simple here. Yes! Because I'm meeting so many that don't know the simple stuff. And you know what I have found? The simple truths of God's word are the ones that are most powerful. I mean, really, they're the ones that are most powerful. You know, that in this context, in John chapter, if you want to go back to John chapter 16, he says this in verse 16, if I can find it, in verse 13, excuse me, he said, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, and of course he gives us his name again, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you, and all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So I want you to notice what he's doing, that he's going to guide you into all truth. Another scripture says that he'll teach you all truth. But if you don't come to class, come on. What, you know, what's your class? It's that 15, 20, 30 hour that you're just in your closet with the book and the ghost and your notebook. And you're just letting him love on you and tell you great and wonderful things that perhaps you haven't seen yet out of the Word of God. Amen. That, you know, one little insight you can feed on for 2 weeks. You're, and throughout that week, little incidents that will happen, and that verse keeps coming back to mind. It keeps coming back to mind. And he's driving it home, not so that you know something intellectually, even though that's important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But so that you can experience it, and it becomes a part of who you are. You know, it's so many that I see this, is that they I think sometimes about the disciples and as he would communicate with them, because in the disciples' mind prior to the coming of Pentecost or the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they were thinking about, we finally got the leader of Israel. And maybe they didn't have complete understanding that I'm the Son of Man and the Son of God. But in their thinking, I'm convinced, they were thinking, finally, the long-awaited one has come, and we're going to kick some Roman butry. We're going to throw off this conqueror, and Jesus is going to set up the nation of Israel once again, and we're going to surpass the glory of the Davidic reign. And Israel will once again step into its destiny. And so when Jesus started saying, in a little while you'll see me no more, huh? What are you talking about? What do you mean we're not going to, you know, see you anymore? You know, there's so much so that I think, what was it, James and Peter, or James and John, they were arguing, the mama, of the Zebedee guys, you know, the mom came in like a good mom, pulled Jesus aside. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. and they said, listen, when you come into your kingdom, let me tell you something. She wasn't thinking about on the other side of the Jordan. She was thinking about when you kick the butry behinds of those Romans, let my sons sit on your right hand and on your left hand. Of course, Jesus had a wonderful response and said, you don't know what you're asking. Can they drink of the cup that I'm going to drink? Oh, yeah, sure. And he said, well, we'll see if they can do it, but it's not for mine to assign those seats. So I'm pretty convinced that a lot of the disciples during the gospel writing, they were walking around like this, scratching their heads. And of course, when Jesus, you know, talked about telling Peter and, you know, he was going to die, and Peter took him aside because obviously Jesus didn't know what he's talking about, right? And rebuked him. And I love all of this because it gives me hope. It really does, you know. Hopefully I can learn from Peter's example and go, don't be quite so stern in the way you address the Lord. And the Lord just kind of went, get behind me. Get on behind me. You have the things of men in mind. I'm paraphrasing. And not the things of God. And so we see this encounter of the Holy Spirit. He talks about him being a comforter. One who comes alongside what we just read. And it's exactly what Jesus did with his disciples. He was always with them. Physically, he was there. They experienced moments that the crowds didn't experience. Come along with me. We're going to go up into the mountains together. We're going to pray. And so they got firsthand experience of this discipling that was going on. And the Lord was so good at it, even though they weren't born again at this point. He was just so good at it. And he was the one that came alongside, and it was like a prophetic lifestyle that he was living, that he was saying, hey, this is coming. The Holy Spirit is that area that I want you to live in. And yet, I'm convinced that they didn't understand all of it at the time. Especially when he talked about leaving, because it went against what they thought that Jesus should do, you know, with his kingdom. Jesus even went on to say that my kingdom is not of this world. What you talking about? I've already got the swords greased up and sharpened. What you talking about? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. And then he blew his mind and says, the kingdom of God is within you. And of course, you know that the Spirit brought all this to their remembrance after Pentecost, and they finally began to get understanding, like, that rascal Jesus, that's what he meant by all that stuff. I love it. I love it. I want to talk to you briefly. We'll just go and just a few minutes, and then I'll stop. I've got too many to talk about, but I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And again, forgive me for being so simple, all right? But I want to make sure. My son's giving me a thumbs up back there. Says, I just want to make sure that when I stand before God, he doesn't go, hey, why didn't you tell him this? You know, one of those type of things. So here we go, all right? Smile at me and say, let's do it. All right. There's so many truths about the Holy Spirit. And again, this is predicated upon things that I've heard in the marketplace and quite frankly in other churches that really disturb me. So one of the first things that I want to tell you is this. The Holy Spirit is God. We embrace a Trinity, all right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, so you can pray to Him. He will receive your worship. And if you want me to try to explain the Trinity, good luck. I know that when you talk about one, you're talking about the other two. When you're talking about the other two are included. If you're talking about the Father, you're talking about the Son, and you're talking about the Spirit. If you're talking about the Spirit, you're talking about the Father, and you're talking about the Son. Can you talk about yourself and still not, you know, we do it because that we're limited, but we talk about, well, we have a mind. And so we pull that out and we just talk it. Go after it. You got to renew your mind. You got to fill your mind with the Word of God. And then we take that and put it back in us. But you got a soul, a will, emotions, volition. We talk about that, how it should be touched back. And then we cram it back in. And you got a body. It's filled with sin. You're going to get a new one day. But you know the truth is, every time you talk about your mind, you're talking about your body and you're talking about your soul. Every time you're talking about your soul, you're talking about your body and you're talking about your mind, because you can't divide it and do justice to it. That's why every analogy of the Trinity, if you push it long enough, you get into heresy. Theology, the study of theology is sometimes you go, this is what is true, and I only have a limited understanding of it. But He is God. Now listen, all right, here's some of the things I've heard. He's the Force. No, that's Star Wars. I'm serious, and particularly this younger generation that's coming up. The Spirit of God is the Force of God. No, He is God. He's God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He's God. And so you have all these things that are out there, and if you listen, you know, He gave us two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we talk. And if you listen to what people say, you'll begin to pick up on some of this stuff. It'll be a little comment that will, you know, drop out here and there, and you go, okay. Now, you'll only go, if you know this. If you don't know this, you go, yeah, He's the Force. No, He's not. He's God. All right? Does that sit well with everybody? He's the Lord. It talks about in Genesis, I was discussing this with some of the disciple groups that I have. You know, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, you first see it at the very beginning when he said, let us make humanity in our image. I'm convinced that the us is the Son and the Spirit. We're going to make this. Let us make man in our image. And I realize there's other takes there, and I can't help it if they're wrong. So just, you know, it's talking about the Trinity there. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that the Lord is the Spirit. All right? You know, when you look at Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3, you have God the Father. This is my Son. You have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove coming on him. And then you have Jesus himself in the water. Perfect picture of this Trinity. But again, if you push that, you'll get into heresy, because you'll get into modes of the Trinity. And the Trinity is not a mode, it's one essence. Everybody with me? All right, this is Theology 101 at Christ Community Church today, okay? And you have to like it. I want to say this, by the way. I've heard this and kind of disturbed. There is no jealousy in the Godhead. There's no jealousy in the Godhead. How can you be jealous of yourself? Just, you know, it makes sense. Now, we're all finite, okay? Anybody here want to argue that you're not finite in here? I'd like to hear your argument. He's not. So that means that my approach to him can only go so far. And anything else that comes from outside of that is because of his direct input into my life. And even in my study, his Spirit, we'll see here in just a minute, is guiding me and directing me into all truth, right? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The devil, the enemy of our soul, will lead you into lies. Every time. Okay? Every time. And so he, first and foremost, is God. For time's sake, I'm not. I love reading. This is Philip Schaeffer's book on the creeds of Christendom. This is volume one. There's three volumes. It's full of history. If you want to, it's about $100 for all. You can get it. And you can read why we have creeds. We have creeds because, believe it or not, in the first 300 years of the church, they had fruitcakes too. They went around saying all kind of crazy stuff. But as I've studied some of them, they were crazy smart. But what they taught was wrong. And I love them. God bless them. I can't say I could have done anything different. Probably not. How do you figure out that Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time? How do you put that on a piece of paper and write that out? So they would get in there and say, well, his soul was divine, but his body was human. No. He was fully God and he was fully human. Because if any part of our existence wasn't included in his humanity, then there's no salvation. That which is not assumed, Athanasius, cannot be redeemed. So he had to become, remember this? Sounds like Ephesians, doesn't it? Like us in every way. He is the Son of God. Let me tell you something. All right, this is deep theology here, so you might want to remember this. God is smart. He's really smart. He's got this stuff all together. And I love how through time and history, as people seek him and study his word, that revelation keeps getting a little bit larger, a little bit more insightful, and we go, oh, I see it now. And I love that verse over in Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about the great cloud of witnesses. who have gone before us. You know what they're doing? They're our cheerleaders. Go, go. Don't believe that. Yes, yes. I have a sermon series on what if one of the cloud of witnesses came back, what would they tell us today? Maybe I should preach that one of these days. Huh? Number two, the Holy Spirit is a person. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in Christian circles and they call him an it. He is not an it. He is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. When I hear the word it, I think of a eunuch. Someone that's been changed from what they were to begin with. But he is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. I want you to get that. So if you've been running around calling him an it, and I'm going to give you a lot of grace, it may be because it's just a slip of the tongue. Okay? I bless you. God bless you. Stop it! He's not an it. He is a person. The third person of the Trinity. He will guide you in John 14, 16. That he listen, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide you in you forever. He may abide in you forever. Not it. Whatever, this glob, you know, it's kind of like the Holy Spirit is the energy of God. Oh, really? Well, I understand that if you're talking about that he exemplifies the power of God. Yeah, I understand that. And by the way, he does that because he is God. But this whole thing, like he's just kind of like a cloud. And changes colors and lets you know what kind of mood he's in. Listen, I've heard some weird stuff, guys. I'm telling you. I've heard some weird stuff. And is this okay? I hope I'm blessing you today. I know it's simple. He's a person. He will come to you. I'm a person created in the image of God. I can't identify with an it. There is no correlation between me and an it. There is a correlation with another person. I know this guy. Love what they do. So thrilled by they're pouring into our kids and teaching them the Bible, and getting them out there praying for people and worshiping God together. But an it? Can't do it. Now, I'm not giving you license if you happen to be around some of your people and they start throwing out impersonal pronouns and things. Just smile. All right? And if you want to, blame it on me. I'm fine with that. Well, pastor says we can't call the Holy Spirit an it. Why? Because he's not an it. Why? Because he's not an it. He will come and guide you into all truth. Number four, let me see what I wrote a scripture down. Do you ever do that? You write something down, you go, why did I write that down? Let me see if it makes sense here. Yeah, listen to Hebrews 9:14, and we'll back it up to verse 13. And if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offers himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, there's a lot there, but what I want you to do, and this is whatever it is, my third or fourth point, is that the Holy Spirit is eternal. All right, he wasn't a spinoff from God somewhere after he said, oh, I need to create the world. Let me spin off and birth the Holy Spirit so he can hover over the waters of creation. He's eternal. Why? Because God is eternal. That's why you can't get your heart and mind fully around who He is. Not until you cross over. Then Scripture says we'll know as we've been known. Huh? We're going to be really smart in eternity, by the way. I just want you guys to know that. He is eternal. I've heard too many people talk about Him as if there was a time when He was not. That's not true. It's not scriptural. He's eternal. He's an eternal power. God's eternal. I couldn't list all the... Go to your concordance. Look, there's full of it in the Old Testament where it talks about the eternity of the Spirit. He's not going to lie to you. Scott was talking about God can't lie. He's not a man that He should lie or change His mind. He's consistent in who He is and how He represents Himself to a lost and dying world. And quite frankly, it's one of the reasons why we get in trouble, because we want Him to fudge. You can do that with everybody else. Over here, I'm okay, right? We're cool if I kind of do this, right? You know, I'm just telling you the truth. It's usually in February I go see my CPA, and I'm walking in there going, how can I finagle? And I sit down, and the Holy Ghost goes, I saw that. Okie dokie. You have anything else? Yeah, I got this, and I had this given, and I had this. Oh, that's going to put you in the next tech bracket. Oh, I'm just so full of joy. Hallelujah. A Trinity. One God. God is one essence, all right, or substance. All right, this is good master-level stuff here. One essence or one substance. Ousia is the Greek. And three persons, hypostasis. Now you can go around and tell people you know a Greek word, hypostasis. It's a good thing to name your pet, hypostasis. Come here, Hoopy. One essence or substance. And the reason why I put that is because the reason why the church got in trouble with all their back and forth arguing, trying to understand this, is they went from Latin West to Greek East. And when you go from one language to another, it leaks. And so they would get the wrangling. I mean, there was almost fist fights. I read some accounts in history where they almost started duking it out, you know, in Christian love, of course, trying to understand all this. It's one essence or substance, ousia, and three persons, hypostasis. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, all right? It's not there. But it's all over it if you look at it. And I gave you a couple of examples today. Trinity was a term that was coined by Tertullian. Tertullian was a lawyer, brilliant mind, heathen, saved, let the door open to the enemy, and in the end of his life, he was an apostate. I came home one day from going to school, and I was real, my face must have showed it. My wife looked at me and said, what's wrong? And I said, it's a wonder we made it. All the stuff that the church has been through, and yet God and His sovereignty kept working and kept revealing and kept showing. You know, listen, have you ever wondered sometimes, see, how can I say this? If you are honest, your church can be a little messy. You know, and today, we put it in the context of, oh, they hurt my feelings, so forth and so on. But I love it when mature, underline, italicized, in dope, black, bold, mature men and women get together and chew on the Word of God together. Because I've learned, well, I'm supposed to have learned, you don't attack the person, you attack the thought. And you kick that around, and that's how fuller understanding comes to you, as long as you don't deny this. Okay? That was a freebie, and I don't talk about some of that stuff. too many. He is number four, as we've already seen in John 14:6. He's the Spirit of truth. He will never, all right, listen to me. He'll never lie to you. He will never lie to you. He can't lie to you. If he lied to you, then we would be vaporized, because the world as we know it, according to the, what is it, Colossians, is held up by the word of his power. And if he denies who he is, then that we'd be like a balloon. I want to say it to you again. He will never lie to you. The enemy will lie to you. But he will never lie to you. That's when, if you hear him speaking to you, and it's bringing, he convicts. He never condemns. Listen, Christians don't know this. He convicts, he never condemns. What do I mean by that? When the Spirit of God convicts you, it's like a laser. Boom! But when the enemy condemns you, it's like Pigpen with this cloud on Peanuts. Y'all remember Pigpen? This cloud, you know, you're just like you're under this cloud. I don't know why I feel so bad. It's the enemy. Now, if you don't repent when he deals with you, you will get into condemnation, primarily from yourself. And that's when the door is open and he gets a foothold, right? He's not going to lie to you. John 1:14 says that Jesus came that, remember, I talk about Jesus, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Father, I'm talking about Jesus, that Jesus is full of, John 1:14, full of, this is a Bible drill, grace, come on, and truth. He's full of grace and truth. What are you full of? Don't answer that. I'm teasing you. Well, maybe not. Let me give you some other words that as I meditated on. Number one, he's genuine. He is genuine. He is trustworthy. He is, and we sang about it this morning, he's faithful. He will faithfully represent the heart of the Father to you. And then the other word that came to mind is integrity. There's no shifting of shadows in him. Now do you understand? We're going to be like him, Christian, little Christ. We're going to be like him. Now do you understand the value that he puts on integrity and character? That we would rightly represent him to a lost and dying world. Number five, he was involved in creation. I've already mentioned it. I've got a ton of these. I won't stop around eight. All right. He was involved in creation in Genesis 1. Listen, you know the account of it. Again, thank you for being so kind and acting like you enjoy this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. Get it? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Reminds me of a chicken brooding in, you know, getting all the little chicks. And I take a little liberty, but this is just me. And this is, I'm not saying this is good theology, it's the way I think. I'm thinking the Lord was going, I can't wait to see what I'm going to do with this. Releasing that creative power of his. God is the creator. Here's another one. You ready? This is a good one. God is the creator. You are not. Okay? Now, with him and with his power, you bring in a lot of great stuff. You initiate a lot of great stuff. But it's always because we're partnering with him. He is the parakletos, the one that comes alongside and labors the one that lives inside of us. He'll never lead you into error. He's involved in creation. I've given you that scripture. I'm over here, so let me see why I wrote this one down. And if I like it, I'll read it to you. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. He was involved in creation. Number six, the Holy Spirit related to people so that we could have this book. He inspired the scriptures. Now, maybe I'll end with this one, but the world attacks this book. And sometimes, unfortunately, when believers get in trouble, they attack the book. And I was in most people, unfortunately, when we goof up, i.e. sin, we try to make ourselves feel better. Okay, I got one, so I'm good, okay? And so what we do, let me give you an example. Okay, I guess if you don't know about it. I understand the heart of giving grace and mercy, and I'm all about that. But in the almost 30 years I've been doing this, when a leader has fallen, we always say there was a moral failure. And I always didn't like that because it almost puts him in another category. So at one time I raised my hand. I said, do you mean he sinned? Well, yeah. Well, why don't you just call it that? Wait, are you going to condemn him? No, I want him to be restored. Now, one of the networks that I belong to, just this week, got a call from one of the leaders and said, Terry, I need to tell you something. I said, okay. I'm not intimately associated with the leader. I'm not in I call it the bourgeoisie leadership. I'm not in that. I'm just affiliated for a relationship. And he said, brother so-and-so had a moral failure. And then I said, you mean he sinned? Yeah. I said, probably committed adultery. He said, yeah. And he said, you know, he's agreed to resign. And it grieved me. I wept. Just really grieved me. And so I how did I get off on that? Glory to God. The book, that was it. You know, this book is sharp, two-edged sword. Cuts, you know, what I always say, it cuts going in and cuts coming out, you know. And also, by the way, according to John's gospel, that he's going to prune you. He prunes you if you got dead fruit or if you have good fruit. He's going to prune you. So here's the theological point. Get used to the shears. Okay? Good or bad, you're getting pruned. If it's good, he's pruning you so that you will have more fruit. If it's bad, he's getting rid of the dead so it doesn't suck the life out of you. Now, you know, I just read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, where all scripture is inspired by God, by the Spirit of God, and it gave you, you know, the list there. Let me, for time's sake, just read some of these scriptures. And I'm sure you already know them. (Clears throat) Knowing chapter 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God, and we could say now women of God, spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Now, I've studied this. You know, I've been forced to study it. I had to study it. And I don't... inspiration, I do not view the doctrine of inspiration as a live video screen stream from the past. I view the doctrine of inspiration like candid moments. Click! And we get a picture into that moment by what was written. A little bit later. Click! We get a picture into that moment of what was going on. It's not a fluid live stream of history. Is everyone tracking with me? Number two, the Spirit doesn't come upon the writer and they go, and he just writes out 50 chapters. Now, forgive me if I've offended you by doing it that way. I don't believe the dictation theory of inspiration. What I believe is the Spirit of God coming on you and working with your personality writes out the heart of the Father in that moment. And it's a candid shot. We have several of them in the life of David. Boop, boop, boop. I wish it was a lie. In heaven, we can go, hit the rewind. We're going to see the whole thing. But it's not that way. I wished it was. There's times when I would go, why didn't they give us some footnotes here? Now let me show you something in Scripture, and then I'll close with this. Go to 1 Chronicles 28, and I'm going to close with this one. Somebody, I heard you say, yeah, right. All right, 1 Chronicles. Okay, thank you, dear. Between you and your mom, I have to stay on my P's and Q's. All right. I would like to suggest to you, all right, it's a suggestion that you read this with the lens of this tells me something about the inspiration of Scripture. All right, let's go. We'll go with verse 9. Now, this is David's admonishment to his son Solomon. And he says this, "But as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your fathers and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Now consider what the Lord has chosen. Now consider, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." And then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, for the houses, for the treasuries, the upper chambers and the inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. Mark it, verse 12. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit. Of the courts of the house of the Lord and so forth. Jump down to verse 19 now. "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing. By his hand upon me all the works of these plans." I'd like to suggest to you that is one of the best definitions scripturally of what the inspiration of the Scriptures look like. With the hands of God upon that writer, guiding his thoughts, not canceling out his personality where he becomes a zombie, but guiding his thoughts, and he's writing out those thoughts, thinking and pondering, writing some more. That's what Paul did all those 3 years when he was out by himself. getting this revelation of grace through faith, which, by the way, Luther got a hold of years later. Is this good? Are y'all okay with this? I want to suggest to you that is one of the best scriptural examples of the inspiration of Scripture that I've ever come across. David experienced it. The plans for the house of God. Oh, I could do that. I'm going to have a kitchen. I'm going to have this. But no, the Spirit gave him those plans. Here's how it's supposed to be. And he wrote it up. I have the Spirit of God on me. He gave me these plans. I love that. You know why? Because it gives me hope. It makes it personal and real. And it says, I'm the God of the universe, but I still want you involved in these plans that I have. And I'll show you what they are. Whew. Okay. I'm stopping there. I got about 20-something more. But I'm stopping. I don't really know how to end something like this. If we have any heretics here that need to repent. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
As you were sharing that last point, it just makes me think of our individual walks with the Lord right now. And first, that I just thought of it. And I think this still goes on, happens to us all the time.
Yeah. Teaching.
And I'm not talking about you just get in the Word one day and read the Word and see that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But when the anointing, when the Holy Ghost comes and starts speaking to you, it says, even as it has taught you, that's exactly how I want you to walk for your life. When the Holy Ghost anointing comes and reveals and opens up this Word,
yeah, all right, that was point nine. He just gave you point nine. And the point is that the Holy Spirit brings the anointing. All right? And he even goes, he has the audacity, 1 John 2, he has the audacity to say, you don't need anybody to teach you. Now, does that mean we don't want to receive teaching? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the teacher, God, is in you. Plug into it. We've had several good sermons here today. Had Scott, had our brother here. I'm sorry, I forgot your first name. Mark. We had Mark, that good word, and you know my ramblings. So, has this been okay for you? I was so fearful that you were all going to go to sleep and go, oh dear God, it's dry theology. I want it to be alive, and I want you to understand the things that you believe. I want you to have a biblical grounding for why you believe what you believe. Now listen, it doesn't mean the world will go, oh, if you put it that way, I'm going to believe with you. They're not. They're blind. They're blind. So stand with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You guys are so good, easy, wonderful people to preach to. I appreciate your hearts and I try to be obedient.